Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I'm Jim Browdy, and she is Marjorie Egan. You know, it's one thing to know what it takes to be healthy. It's another thing to know how to do it. I think it was a couple of weeks ago we talked to Dr. David Katz about what it takes to live healthier longer. And now that we're coming off the holiday season, we're checking back in with him for his advice on how we can make our New Year's resolution be healthier and, in most cases, lose weight. So integrated into our daily lives, we don't have to renew this resolution year after year after year. Dr. Katz is the founding director of Yale University's Prevention Research Center. He's a specialist in nutrition, weight management, and chronic disease prevention. All these disciplines come together in his new book, Disease Proof, The Remarkable Truth About What Makes Us Well. Dr. Katz, good to talk to you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Jim. Good to be back with you.
Thank you, Dr. Katz. Now, I just quickly want to know if we've already blown it. You know, it's only a few days into the new year.
Marjorie, in your case, I bet you have, but it's okay.
Okay. So we want to start again, all of us start again, whether we want to lose weight or quit smoking or whether we want to be more productive or get things done. I mean, how do we start again, even if we've already blown it, and keep doing it?
It may be too soon to have blown it, but you know the problem with the whole resolution thing, Marjorie, is that it tends to be a ready or not, let's go. And the whole field of behavior modification is about the need to be ready before you go. It may be useful to invoke Thomas Edison. Edison famously said that genius is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration.
Love
right?
that. Love that.
And we can probably translate perspiration into preparation. You think about the kinds of resolutions people make, and inevitably weight loss tops the list, but whether it's losing weight or finding health or some combination of those, the resolution tends to be all about the what. So I want to weigh a certain thing, I want to look a particular way, or I want to be healthy. It's almost never about the how. Missing entirely is a resolution to learn how. A reasonable resolution would be, I'm going to learn everything I need to know to cook wholesome, tasty, nutritious, economical meals for my family. I mean, that would be reasonable because you actually can learn how to do that. A resolution to lose 30 pounds, you know, you take off, but there's nothing to sustain your flight there. So I think our resolutions tend to be misguided. We get caught up in the cultural hype. Ready or not, here we go. Most of us are not ready, and very few resolutions live to see the crocuses come up. We need to fix that.
I think it's the croci, doctor. But in any case, now, Dr. Katz, so we're not going to do the Nike just do it thing. Okay. But as someone who has lost and gained weight, I know this is not healthy, many, many times in my life, I really do know that yo-yo thing is not healthy. What I do know is that it's really, well, I completely agree with your preparation thing because of the many failures I've had at it in the past. I also know that instant gratification is important to keep you going. So how do you mix preparation to start your path to your goal with the fact that you need some rewards so that you keep doing it? How do you do that?
I agree with you, Jim, and I don't think we really have to choose. I think the mistake is to bank entirely on inspiration. So, you know, willpower will get the job done. The beauty of combining willpower with skill power is you can take advantage of this cultural phenomenon. Everybody is pledging to make a change. It's a new year. It's a fresh start. I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm going to let that be the wind beneath my wings, but I'm also going to take flying lessons. And so, you know, as you get started, and maybe you do this with friends and you make a social contract, you tell coworkers, friends, family, I'm going to do this, I'm going to lose weight. You do get started. You make changes to your diet and your physical activity that do result in some immediate gratification. You step on the scale, you look in the mirror, you're getting some reward. But at the same time, you say, what are the challenges that will come up between now and a year from now so I'm not making the same resolution this time next year? What do I need to know that I didn't know last year so I can eat well every day? I can fit physical activity into my hectic daily routine. Do I know how to interpret a food label? Do I know what questions to ask when I eat out at a restaurant so I get the most nutritious meal possible and yet still enjoy the meal? Because after all, we want to enjoy good food. Good health is pleasurable, so is good food. We shouldn't have to buy the one by giving up the other. So all of these figure into the preparation, and then you can have some immediate gratification. But you also have staying power. You keep getting the pleasure of these good results.
You know, Dr. Katz, one of the things you mentioned a minute ago is makes me think that I'd love your thoughts on about a fight that Marjorie have, an argument she and I have had for years, particularly since the Bloomberg era started, now that it, even though it's over, is you mentioned, do you know how to read one of those nutrition things? I am a huge proponent of all of these calorie count things in fast food places, now in vending machines. I think under Obamacare it has to be in vending machines. I'm not sure. A lot of people believe, I don't want to put words in Marjorie's mouth, but I will, and she'll correct me if I'm wrong, that you can't be dumb enough not to know that a Snickers bar is not as good as a whatever it is, as a salad or something. But aren't those reminders healthy ones in terms of getting you to the right place?
Marjorie, do you want to hit him in the head before I answer?
I'm really sorry. That's your position. Go ahead, Dr. Katz.
I think that calorie counts are a useful reality check, Jim. And actually, you know, whatever Marjorie's position is on this, we've done the research. It's been published. People are clueless about calorie levels. And frankly, yes, it's fairly obvious that a Snickers bar is going to have a lot of calories. But what's not obvious is that a salad with blue cheese dressing and croutons
may have
even more. Yeah. And so people routinely fail to account for sauces, spreads, dressings, condiments, and the incredible amounts of calories they add. It's a useful reality check, but only up to a point, because what it tells you is here's how many calories you get if you eat this. What it doesn't tell you is how to trade up your food choices so that you can fill up on fewer calories. So you look at the calorie counts, you buy the thing with fewer calories, but what if half an hour later, as a result of eating fewer calories, you're hungry again and then you have another one of those? Right. So I think we need more information. As you may know, one of the things I've contributed to public health is a nutrition guidance system called NuVal, and it's in supermarkets all around the country. 1 to 100, the higher the number, the more nutritious the food. And the one of the many virtues of more nutritious food is it does fill you up on fewer calories. So I think we need to pay attention to more than just calories. But yes, I think it is a useful reminder of how many calories are sneaking into our diets in places we tend not to think about. Everybody knows the candy bar is loaded with calories, but people tend not to know that about some of their sandwiches and some of their salads.
Is this NuVal in your book?
Actually, what we did, Marjorie, the NuVal has scored over 100,000 foods. And so when it's in a supermarket, it's basically on the shelf tag next to the price in front of everything in the supermarket. In the book, we have close to 1,000 examples of NuVal scores. And what we did was we put enough of them in the book in different categories to show people the incredible opportunity to trade up your choices. One of the hard things about resolutions is very often there's sacrifice involved. Yeah. I have to give up something I love. Well, you don't actually have to give up foods you love. You can trade up foods you love. You can find the better versions of the things you like to eat, better bread, better chips, better cereal. But to get there from here requires know-how that most people don't have, all the things you need to know about ingredient lists and nutrition facts. So
give us an example or two of things that we all love to eat, or most of us love to eat, that we can trade up on, Dr. Katz.
Well, I think most people who aren't gluten intolerant like bread. And the range of scores in the bread aisle of just about every supermarket in the country go from down around 10, which is, you know, really quite poor because it's highly refined starch, white flour, added sugar, added salt, a variety of processed ingredients, versus a simple whole grain bread with an ingredient list of whole grain flour, water, yeast, and a little bit of salt. Huge difference in terms of nutritional properties, and a huge difference in terms of scores. Great opportunity to trade up. Salad dressing, pasta sauce. I think we may have talked about this last time, Jim, but people may be more inclined to listen to health messages after the holidays than before.
But you did talk about the pasta sauce.
I mean, some of them have literally a higher concentration of added sugar than ice cream topping, and sitting right next to them on the shelf, looking just the same and tasting about the same, frankly, is a pasta sauce with no added sugar at all. Huge opportunity to trade up. Chips. You know, people may think, hey, you know, I'm trying to eat better, I have to give up chips. No, you just have to trade up your chips. You get a highly processed chip. It has the wrong kind of oil, lots of added salt, and sometimes, believe it or not, added sugar as well.
So
you
people,
buy the right
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so people can get some of these values in your book. Is there a supermarket in Boston around here that might have some of these values on the shelf? Because I would find that hugely helpful.
Yeah. Well, what I'd recommend you do to find out exactly what stores it's in and which ones are closest is just go to NuVal, NUVAL.com. And right there on the homepage, you'll see Store Finder.
I'm there right now, by the way, as you two were speaking.
NUVAL.com.
NuVal.com.
Now, but, you know, I'd like to think I'm a self-help kind of person, mostly because I don't like discussing my problems with other people. But
Thank you, Marjorie.
No, it's true.
We're here to help, Jim.
I know, exactly. It's the only reason we invited you on, Dr. Katz. So I thought it was free advice for me. But can people who have chronic issues, whether it's weight, whether it's smoking. Can a website and a book and a support network be enough, or do you need a nutritionist? Do you need a food shrink or a you know, the you don't know this, but there's a famous person in Brookline who is famous in terms of helping people stop smoking.
Oh, the Russian
right,
guy.
Can people do this by themselves for the most part, the average person?
Well, the answer at one level, Jim, I think is it depends. It depends on the person and it depends what else is going on in your life. In Disease Proof, we talk about the importance of being holistic. I do this with my patients in clinic. As a reader, you can get yourself there. Think about what are the issues in my life. You know, do I have a toxic marriage? Do I hate my job or my boss? Am I in chronic pain? Can I never get a night's sleep? You know, it may be that something else has to be addressed first before you can improve your eating or your physical activity. So if you can do that on your own, fine. Very often there is a role there for help from somebody in the health professions. But I'd go beyond that. Your prior discussion was with a guest talking about the new mayor and opportunity mm-hmm. for change in the city. You know, none of us is an island. We're part of something bigger. The basic functional unit of society is the family, but then we're part of culture and society. Frankly, I think we need more than help from just an individual. I think we need neighborhoods, communities, and a culture that make health the path of lesser resistance. You know, it tends to be the road not taken. We're surrounded by all the wrong foods and all the wrong quantities and encouraged to eat them by marketing. We have days that systematically jettison physical activity. We really need a culture that says these are top priority items. We need to engineer physical activity into everybody's day, both in school and at work, and make that the norm. We need to put nutritious food at people's fingertips. We need to tell the truth about food. We need to give people true food. We need to make the better choice the easier choice. So, you know, I think some of us can do this on our own. Some of us need help from healthcare professionals. But I think we all could use help from one another. And you know, the good news is, Jim, I think it all comes together. I mean, if enough of us have skill power, if, for example, we're all expert in food label interpretation and we can express that expertise at the checkout counter, that's a vote. That's a vote for improving the food supply. And when enough of us cast that vote, the food manufacturers do pay attention. So we can actually change the food supply by changing our food demand. But I think we all need help. If we want to take the best possible care of our bodies, I do think we need the body politic to weigh in and help us get there from here.
We're talking with Dr. David Katz. He is the director, founding director of Yale University's Prevention Research Center and a specialist in nutrition, weight management, and chronic disease prevention. You know, doctor, when you're talking about having the community kind of all together, or the family sort of all together, and one of the big things I hear from mothers who have jobs outside the home and then come home to cook dinner, and there are husbands that do it too, but lots of time it's mothers.
Right.
One of the reasons they have pizza is because of time. You know, that's a real problem. Or because they don't know how to cook nutritious things quickly enough. You know, I guess if you're a good cook, you can, but most of us aren't good cooks.
Exactly. And so again, you know, you can fix this on your own. You can learn healthy recipes, learn healthy shopping. Think about what you need to have in your refrigerator and your pantry. Learn how to trade up choices in every aisle of the supermarket without spending more money. Do some advanced planning so you know what recipes you're going to make which day. There have been studies, Marjorie, to show that if you have that skill set, it takes no more than 10 additional minutes to make a wholesome home-cooked meal than it does to run out to a fast food place. So we're talking about a very small investment and a really big return, both in terms of health and in terms of financial savings. I mean, you win every which way. But again, I think we need some help from our culture at large. We should all learn how to cook. We need to bring back home economics. You know, essentially, learning how to prepare food is a life skill, and none of us get that skill in our education. In terms of fitting physical activity into the daily routine, we ought to have daily routines that build it in the first place so we don't have to go out of our way to look for it. Employers ought to be thinking about that. And more they are, because we can't afford the status quo. Our culture has recognized that we have to start investing in prevention because we can't afford the pounds and pounds and pounds of cure. They're too damn expensive. So I think we will be getting more help.
You know, I am so offended that Marjorie is not mentioned in this part of the discussion that I brought in sweet potato spears that I baked this morning at dawn with cayenne pepper and chili garlic powder on them. How were they, Marjorie?
They were delicious. Don't
and I'm not much of a
don't
cook.
Don't forget your Brussels sprouts.
My Brussels sprouts were great.
Is this true?
No, it's totally true.
You brought Brussels sprouts
to
work?
I know. It's noisy.
I wish if I were in the studio, I'd give you a hug.
Well,
Jim,
next time I see
I've
you.
Never heard.
Next time I, you can pop them in.
Although the Brussels sprouts had a little dirt in them.
No, they did not. Now, Dr. Katz.
They taste a little like the backyard.
We only have a couple minutes left. So assuming that we didn't blow it.
I don't know if we can do better than Brussels sprouts.
Exactly. Well, I can't make them for everybody. Now, it's the sixth day of January. People are either teetering in the edge of failure or are already there. Give us, we only have 2.5 minutes left. Give us 2 or 3 concrete things that people can start doing at 2 o'clock today to get them from here to there, the preparation that leads to the whatever.
All right. Well, so if we're talking about any goal, I would say start with a decision balance. So, you know, maybe we're talking about smoking cessation or something unrelated to diet and physical activity. Sort of change, don't change, pros, cons. Fill out that table and try to be comprehensive. Make sure you know what you're up against and what your motivation is. And then think about the course of the last year, all the things that made the healthy behavior difficult for you. And make a list of them and think, do I have a plan to deal with each of these? If we're talking specifically about diet or physical activity, Jim, it's as simple as start going for a walk. Every time you have a chance to go for a bit of activity, go for it. And in terms of food, I would say get an insulated snack pack, put healthy foods in it, and take it with you everywhere you go. So when you get hungry, you choose what your options are rather than some nincompoop who stocked a vending machine. No offense to vending machine stockers. You should be in charge. I would say let an apple be your umbrella. You know, if you don't want your head to get wet in the rain, you take an umbrella. If you don't want to get fat in this world, you've got to take charge of the stuff you put in your mouth. Simple stuff. Start with simple steps. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with just one step.
Now, I was just looking at your Nouvelle thing. That was actually beautiful, Dr. Katz. But I didn't see Browdy's Brussels sprouts rated anywhere on your Nouvelle chart. They'd be like 100, would they not?
I bet they would, Jim. You send them to me. I'll be sure they get scored.
Doctor, but I want to point out, though, that Jim has an insulated snack pack. And
I do. Many of them every morning.
An apple every day. So he's like the miracle guy on his it started before New Year's even. It's really impressive.
We tend to know that if we want good outcomes, we should be in the driver's seat. We should take control, except with food. Everybody goes on the seafood diet. I see food, I eat it. Don't do that. I mean, it's a simple change to make. Yeah,
take charge. We only have 20 seconds. But, you know, it's so – what you say in so many ways is so obvious, Dr. Katz. The fact that we prepare for everything, including buying a new vacuum cleaner, we do research, and the notion that we think
and
we can
neglect-
just – And we just
wish for health. I know it's bizarre,
unbelievable.
Right?
It's unbelievable. It really.
I hope people. Yeah, I agree with you. It is obvious, but we need to focus on the how. And the beauty of it being obvious is we actually can get there from
I'm
here.
With you.
So here's hoping this is the year.
Dr. Katz, Happy New Year!
So
it's great
much.
To talk
that was
to
very,
you.
And very encouraging. Happy New Year to you
Thanks,
as well.
Guys.
David Katz, thank you. As the founding director of Yale University's Prevention Research Center, a specialist, obviously, in nutrition, weight management, chronic disease prevention, and these disciplines come together in his new book, Disease Proof, The Remarkable Truth About What Makes Us Well. Thanks you for listening to another edition, thank you, of Boston Public Radio. Tomorrow we're going to have Harvard Business School's Nancy Kane. We're also going to pay tribute to veteran journalist Don Forrest, editor of The Village Voice, New York Newsday, Boston Magazine, and credited with saving the Boston Herald back in the 80s. He died over the weekend. Our show's a production of WGBH, Boston Public Radio. Chelsea Murray, Will Roselip, John Parker, and Amanda McGowan are our team. I'm Marjorie Egan.
I'm Jim Browdy, the man behind the Brussels sprouts.
Thank
See you tomorrow
for tuning in.